Today's passage is 2 Samuel 2, 12 to 32. Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David, went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men arise and compete before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then they arose and passed over by number, 12 for Benjamin and Ishbosheth the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And each caught his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side, so they fell down together. Therefore that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is at Gibeon. And the battle was very fierce that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. And the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now Asahel was as swift of foot as a wild gazelle. And Asahel pursued Abner, and as he went, he turned neither to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Is it you, Asahel?" And he answered, "It is I." Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and seize one of the young men and take his spoil." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I lift up my face to your brother Joab?" But he refused to turn aside. Therefore Abner struck him in the stomach with the butt of his spear, so that the spear came out at his back. And he fell there and died where he was. And all who came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died stood still. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. And as the sun was going down, they came to the hill of Ammah, which lies before Gia, on the way to the wilderness of Gibeon. And the people of Benjamin gathered themselves together behind Abner and became one group and took their stand on the top of a hill. And Abner called to Joab, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that the end will be bitter? How long will it be before you tell your people to turn from the pursuit of your brothers?" Of their brothers. And Joab said, as God lives, if you had not spoken, surely the men would not have given up the pursuit of their brothers until the morning. So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men stopped and pursued Israel no more, nor did they fight any more. And Abner and his men went all that night through the Arabah. They crossed the Jordan, and marching the whole morning, they came to Mahanaim. Joab returned from the pursuit of Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing from David's servants 19 men besides Asahel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin 360 of Abner's men. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the tomb of his father, which was at Bethlehem. And Joab and his men marched all night, and the day broke upon them at Hebron. All right, quite the passage today. We're picking up in 2 Samuel 2, right after David has been anointed king of Judah, which was soon after the death of Saul. However, Abner, one of Saul's military commanders, has taken Saul's son Ishbosheth and made him king over the rest of Israel. And in today's passage, David is not involved in the narrative, just Abner and his men, the servants of Ishbosheth, and Joab and his men, the servants of David, who meet each other at Gibeon, which is a town a few miles north of Jerusalem. Reading verses 13 and 14 again. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men arise and compete before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." It would have been great if this competition was swimming, but the competition is actually fighting one another. 12 representatives from each side go up, and each person grabs his opponent by the head and thrusts his sword in his opponent's side, so they fell down together. It's a very deadly competition, and it becomes a battle between the two sides. Verse 17 summarizes, "And the battle was very fierce that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David." The rest of the verses detail how Abner kills Asahel, the swift-footed brother of Joab, and only at sunset, when Abner cries out, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that the end will be bitter? How long will it be before you tell your people to turn from the pursuit of their brothers?" Only then does Joab and his men stop the fighting. At the end of the day, Abner loses 360 men versus just 20 for Joab and David's men. David's men, as has been the trend, are on the victorious end. Reflecting on this passage, I think it's a pretty sad scene. The Israelites, who are all supposed to be God's chosen people, are divided, Judah versus the rest of Israel. And this battle of Gibeon cost lives on both sides. Again, David is not mentioned in these verses. This scene seems so far removed from, and this scene stands in contrast to the verses before this, where David inquired of the Lord about what actions he should take. Abner, out of his own initiative and not out of God's directive, has made Ish-bosheth king, and he was the initiator of this battle since he suggested that the men compete. And I would say that Joab also is to blame for the battle because he goes along with Abner's suggestion. We'll see a lot more of Joab throughout 2 Samuel as one of David's top military men, and we'll see that Joab many times acts out of compulsion. Whereas we have seen David trust in God to deliver him from his enemies, like when he didn't take Saul's life several times though he had the opportunity, Joab, on the other hand, often takes matters into his own hand. Though he wins this battle, it's a costly one, because Abner has killed his brother Asahel. I think Abner and Joab engaged in a senseless, unnecessary battle, where Israelites killed their fellow Israelites. In light of this passage, I'd like us to think about if we are fighting the right battles in our lives. In other words, are we fighting any unnecessary battles that God has not called us to? For example, are there quarrels or arguments that we are engaging in with others that we simply should not be a part of? Are there people we need to forgive or ask for forgiveness from? Or are there things that we just need to let go of because God has not called us to that battle? To share a story from my life, a couple years ago, as a software engineer, I was working with a fellow engineer on a technical problem. We had different approaches to solving the problem, and we had lots of back and forth discussions on it. However, over a few weeks, since neither of us could see the merit in the other person's solution, we did not meet in the middle, and we just kept going back and forth in the meetings and over Slack, even though it was clear where each of us stood in our thinking. And at some point, I became more focused on having the last word or proving why I was right versus focusing on working together to solve the technical problem. I would seek to have the last word in our exchanges several times, and in the end, I was just acting out of pride. Outside of work, sometimes my mind would wander and think what I could say the next time to prove my point. Thankfully, later on, we both realized around the same time to let things cool down. Now, this was an unnecessary battle where my energy and emotion was channeled against my coworker. I was not loving my coworker. I had to lay down my pride and just let go of whatever I was holding onto. Paul in the New Testament writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We have to remember that God has called his people to battle against our spiritual enemy. Whenever we find ourselves caught in a metaphorical battle against somebody else, we are fighting the wrong battle. This is not to say we cannot have disagreements and that we should avoid conflicts at all costs. But sometimes disagreements can quickly escalate into unnecessary battles if we are not wise or we just let our pride go unchecked. So let's ask God for wisdom today to fight the right fight instead of earthly ones. Let's pray that we can say like Paul does later on in 2 Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." If there is an unnecessary battle that comes to mind for you, I encourage you to ask God for help to end it as soon as possible, to minimize losses or hurt, and so that we can put our whole focus on living for God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and Lord, I think similar to the Battle of Gibeon, Lord, it is a sad scene whenever we just take part in earthly battles that you don't call us to. There's unnecessary loss and just a lot of things that, a lot of negative things that come out that don't need to. So Lord, we ask for your wisdom. Help us to stay in tune with you. Help us to walk in step with your spirit. God, help us to fight the good fight where we're seeking to follow you with all of our hearts, souls, and minds. Lord, I pray if there's any quarrels or battles against other people that you bring to mind, Lord, it may not just be a one-time, super easy, let it go thing for us because it's felt like a battle. Lord, so I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon us to surrender it to you and that you would work powerfully in us to let it go and to forgive if necessary. Lord, we thank you for being with us. Pray for your strength today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.